If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Jesus, Schwani, we've got management present.
Shh, be quiet, be quiet. I'm taking notes, by the way.
I don't feel like we can operate.
Oh, we have. I had to think for a moment what you meant by that. I so, did too, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too.
I don't feel like we can. I feel like we're being watched.
Oh, please. I wouldn't know what to look for.
Well, he hasn't said that we have to call him Mr. Mazur when he comes into the building. No. So.
Just a regular dude.
He made me bow when I saw him earlier.
No, did he?
Before the show.
Yeah. Well, that was supposed to be between us, but okay.
No. I got an email from him yesterday saying, you know, I'm just still Andy.
I'm just still plain old me.
Plain old Andy.
Don't treat me differently.
Put my pants on one leg at a time.
Just because
I'm not to trip.
Management now and...
Yeah. You'll be with us on Sundays, you know.
A few here and there,
Especially now with the, you know, the Bears in full swing. Yeah.
Probably got all the secret passwords, the keys to the management restrooms.
Oh, yeah. I wish I knew where those were. Can't remember my own password, let alone the management passwords. Are you kidding me?
I have a list in my pocket of passwords.
So now that you are management.
Okay.
You're going to be hosting Happen OB at 11.
Correct.
So you don't need to be here with us. We love having you, of course.
I want to be here with you.
Yeah, except for the part that you're monitoring us. And
well, maybe that's why I want to be here.
Got surveillance cameras all of a sudden all over the place.
Oh, Lord.
So Happen OB at 11.
Correct. Bears going to be in Detroit today.
Right.
Both teams 0-1. The subplot here is that head coach of the Bears, Ben Johnson, spent the last few years
in Detroit, right?
With Detroit, right? And he's got a great relationship with their head coach, Dan Campbell. So I think it would be nice for the Bears to go in there and win one for Ben.
Someone's going home 0-2, though, right?
This is true. This is very true. Unless the unless they tie, which could happen, but you know it doesn't happen that often.
Could there be a tie?
Yeah, if they play the overtime session and no one scores.
Played for nothing?
Pretty much. And, you know, it really messes with things toward the end of the year, too, when you're talking about the playoffs, because it ends up becoming like a half a game. And it's really strange to have to figure that out. So let's just hope it's either 0-2 or 1-1.
You know what I have to say about that?
And the game sucked, period.
You know, I'd like to call Ben Johnson personally. If I had his cell phone number, I'd play a couple of those for him, and I would say, Ben, do us a favor. It has been a long 3.5-4 years. I want this man to be happy.
If I was on the phone with Ben Johnson, you know what I'd say? Oh, never mind. I'm speechless right at the moment.
I'm sorry. I was trying to find a new one, and I missed that, so I'll get you on the next one. I have so many in the folder now, I can't organize them.
He told me that's producer Eli. He said, I've got all kinds of new OB drop-ins.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm overwhelmed by it.
And then there was dead air.
I thought we'd have like a rapid fire of them today. You know what I say about that?
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just the beginning of the season.
Yes, it is.
If you're sick of it already, just wait.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, we don't do anything lightly on this show at all.
Dean Richards, WGN.
It's a fun parade.
Is it?
Yeah. I've been in it. The WGN TV has a float in the parade today. And Bozo, El Bozo. Bozo. Bozo, how do you say clown? Anyone know how to say clown?
Hang on, let me ask my phone.
Payasa.
Payasa?
Payasa.
Payasa.
Payasa or payaso, if it's a male clown, I guess.
Bozo. A male would be payoso and
Bozo
female,
de payaso. will be on the floto. Now I'm just talking like Lucy Ricardo.
Yes.
Bozo's on the float. Dan Ponce. Lourdes Duarte. I've got a whole gang of friends from WGN-TV that are on the float today. So look for them out there. Bozo, you know, there's not too many guys out there with orange hair and a sombrero. So
very true.
Does he wear the sombrero for Mexican Independence Day?
He wears it all the time, really.
Oh, he does. Yeah, okay.
It's a good way to keep the sun out of your eyes. Yeah. It should be fun. That'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
So this past week, I was in New York and Los Angeles. Call me bi-coastal, if you will.
Jet setter.
Jet setter. Oh, and there's nothing like being on planes that long.
Oof.
Remember when it used to be fun?
Yes, I do. It no longer is.
Not so much anymore.
It no longer is.
Fortunately.
And I don't know if that's because we're getting older.
Yes.
But maybe that has something to do with it, but it's, you know, everything else that you need to do at the airport and sitting on the tarmac and waiting and
Yeah. This is not normally my personality, but everything annoys me on a plane. Everything and everyone annoys me.
Boy, I'm so glad I don't have to sit next to you on a plane.
Well, if you were the guy sitting next to me who took his shoes and socks off.
Oh. Seriously?
Then why? I think I deserve to be annoyed by you.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Across the aisle. He wasn't right. I wasn't.
Well, still.
I wasn't within toenails reach of the guy or anything.
Still.
But plane hadn't even taken off yet. Shoes and socks off.
That's actually...
gross.
Yeah. I'm surprised, though, that a flight attendant didn't come, you know, very nicely say, sir, it's kind of not allowed.
No, I think it is allowed.
Is it?
Let me just say, you shouldn't do it.
No.
It's rude. Mm. It's incredibly rude to the other passengers. But I don't think there's a rule that says you got to keep your, paws covered. Keep your haunches covered. Yeah,
probably not, but still.
It could have only been worse if he had pulled out a toenail clipper.
Oh, boy.
Enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
Sorry, I ordered my ginger ale without a toenail.
That's the only thing that would have made it worse. But other people are hacking their lungs out. I'm, you know, now because I got hit with COVID again, I'm masking it up like crazy when I'm in public places.
Oh, yeah.
But other people are, you know, just on the planes. Where's Dean? I want to cough on him. But anywho, I did a whole bunch of interviews.
I hope you did something.
Besides catch a virus. Besides have to look at some guy's feet.
Who all did you interview?
You know, the other people. The other thing, I'm telling you, everything and everyone annoys me on a plane. The people that are sitting in the bulkhead row that feel like they have to put their feet up on the wall. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's gross. Screaming babies.
They can't help it.
They can't help it. And the parents... God bless the poor parents. Often
they try their best.
One parent with like three kids or something, and they're doing their best to corral these kids. But grown-up humans who should know better about things, they should be kicked off the plane, or else put me on a private plane and they can do whatever they want. In their toenail mobile.
They should have like a penalty box on the plane.
That's not bad.
Sorry, sir. That's 2 hours for
you have to go
toenails. Get in the box.
I was there, Shwani, interviewing Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
He's got a new movie that's fantastic. whose name escapes me at the moment. I'll look it up in a second and we'll get it. But I also interviewed the Spinal Tap guys in character.
Well, that should be good.
Michael McKean, Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer in their characters as Spinal Tap. They're hilarious. And also the Downton Abbey cast. What they're saying is the final Downton Abbey movie is going to be coming out. So in a moment, let me take a quick break here. And when we come back, let me share some of that Downton Abbey interview with Michelle Dockery, Lady Mary, and Joanne Froggatt, Anna. That's coming up next.
Your town, your sound, your very own WGN.
I think what's lovely about this is that we are able to give it an ending. Yeah. You know, and so many shows and productions don't, because they can't, because they don't always know that it's going to be the end.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be a shame to spoil that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think definitely for us as an ensemble cast, this is the end of us playing these characters, whether there is a prequel or something with something later. Mm-hmm. With different actors playing different characters. Yeah. At different ages, or, you know, there's so much scope, as you say, for all sorts of amazing things that they could do with it. But I do think for these core characters in this Downton Abbey, this is it.
Yeah. This is done. So, but it's so remarkably endearing and has been wonderful for all of these years. What do you think powers the Downton love and explosion?
Well, there's so many elements that make it what it is and why people love it. But I've always put it down to comfort. I think people find it really comforting, and they, you know, relate to the characters in one way or another. But ultimately there's a sort of soothing feeling when watching something like Downton.
Very civil, very proper, very, yeah, very lovely in that way.
Like human stories, you know, really it's the stories of love and loss and joy. Yeah. And
the honesty, you know,
all
honesty,
those universal, yeah, human stories. Yeah. You know.
And it struck me more than once that what the actors must be going through in saying goodbye to this was exactly what I was seeing on the screen. Mm. And what the characters were all going through of letting go, moving on, saying goodbye. Was that difficult to act through?
Yeah, it was difficult to hold. You know, these are pretty stoic. I mean, Mary especially, she's a pretty stoic character. She doesn't like burst into ugly crying, which is what I basically wanted to do. Yeah. Whenever I was filming my last scene with Joe, filming those last moments, it was a challenge. I think that's probably what we found, you know, the biggest challenge on this was, you know, keeping your composure of your own emotions underneath going on, knowing that it was the last one. And just remaining in character. So it's been a very, you know, filming it, knowing it's the end, was emotional. And then even doing that, you know, sitting next to one another now, we don't know when Joe and I will work together again on something else. I'm hoping we do something contemporary.
Yeah, we definitely, at some point for sure.
So even this feels, you know, this is another ending for us, really.
Yeah, and Maggie Smith, it's still so pervasive in this, not to mention the giant portrait that is in so many of the scenes, yeah, but her presence is felt. What do you think that she represented?
Maggie was such an icon in her, you know, as an actor, and she's an icon in Downton Abbey. You know, it's always Maggie's lines that people remember, those brilliant lines that Julian would write for her, and she delivered them like no one else can. And you know, I think Violet as a character is such a huge part of Downton, and like with anything, anyone in life, you know, when you lose someone, you don't lose the love. You know, their love stays, and then you still have them in your heart. And I think this film very much has Maggie in its heart.
Yeah.
I hope it's a fitting tribute. Yeah. I think so. I think it is.
Downton Abbey, the grand finale, is in theaters right now. I loved it. We'll have more of the interviews later and coming up this week on the WGN-TV Morning News. So, Shawnee.
Yes, sir.
This is like behind-the-scenes radio talk. But, like, it's not exactly the licensing of music, but there are some reasons that we can't use certain pieces of music on the show anymore.
That's correct. Yes,
legal,
I know that.
They're legal things.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're going to have to, you know, like normally for the Far-Flung Forecast, we would have the Andy Griffith Show music.
Which we've had almost from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Guess what? Not anymore.
Can't do it anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do we do then?
Ladies and gentlemen, and now, here is your
We can't even whistle it?
No, because okay. it's a copyright.
It's a copyrighted.
It's copyrighted music.
Yeah.
So whether they perform the music.
Or we perform it,
it's still.
Which we probably shouldn't do in the first place, right?
I wonder what OB would say about something like this.
I can't believe it.
I wonder what he would say about not being able to.
I can't believe it. This is an outrage.
All right, be quiet. Be quiet a second so we can hear the actual OB.
Oh.
All right. I wonder what OB would say about this. Oh, wait a second. I got the wrong button pushed.
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I played it like 5 times. I knew it was there.
Well, we heard it the fifth time.
This is a much better open for the Far-Flung Forecast than we've done in the past, by the way. We may use that OB cut from now on. One more time.
What the hell are you talking about?
Now, here's Dave Schwann.
Thank you, Dean. Good morning, everyone. Today, get out their compass, protractor, and newfangled device because we are going across the pond today, going to Plymouth, England, which is a port city in Devon. Devon, England.
It goes with my Downton Abbey interview.
Yeah, it does, actually.
This is an English show today.
The southern portion of the country and has been a port city, really, for centuries.
It's a port city.
They're talking about, you know, history going back over 1,000 years.
Oh, the history goes back over 1,000 years.
Are you done?
Probably not.
No, probably not. Andy, you want to take it from here?
No.
I say. Oh. Yes, please continue. Part my intrusion.
When I start up again, he's going to start talking again. It's been a port city for nearly 1,000 years, and we bring up Plymouth, England today because, it being a port city, 405 years ago this coming Tuesday, 102 people boarded a ship called the Mayflower. Ooh. And left Plymouth, England, setting sail for what later became the United States of America, wow, ultimately ending up in what is now Plymouth, Massachusetts. So 405 years ago this coming Tuesday, which would be the 16th. Left from Plymouth, England.
How about that?
It was a voyage of well over 2 months.
Oh.
Amazing. But Plymouth, England, which is now, it is 3:37 Plymouth time, they have a cloudy day today in 63 with a bit of rain in the forecast.
I believe I see a new land ahead. I wish to go and open a mattress store there.
Like I asked before, are you done?
Career-wise, yes, I am. Dr. Wheat, thank you very much for joining us. I hope you're doing well this morning.
Good morning, I am. I hope you're doing well as well.
I am. I was, as I had mentioned a few moments ago, was on airplanes almost all week, doing some interviews on both the East and West Coast, and I'm fully masked up. I'm practically wearing a beekeeper suit on the plane to protect myself these days, but so many people are not, and all I am reading now is how we're going into the flu season. We're going into resurgence of COVID. This seems like this is a time of year where we all need to take some precaution if you don't want to get sick.
Absolutely. And we absolutely are starting to see all of those things in clinic already. We're seeing so many colds, so many people coming in with COVID. It is definitely on its way in.
So what, you know, masks aside, washing hands aside, what else should we be doing now to protect ourselves?
I think that there's a few things that we can do. I think it's real that some of us are going to get sick, and that's okay. But if we can stay home when that happens, and that's helpful, it helps the spread. As you mentioned, the masks, the hand hygiene, those also go a long way. And then there are some things that you can do. Obviously, vaccination is something that can help. It doesn't stop all of the illness, but it can help you from getting quite as sick. But there's some things that you can do. One of the things that is easy and simple that has research behind it is even like nasal saline spray, if you start to get sick, can make it go by faster and make you feel better during
really?
All of it.
Saline spray, you say, just basically it's not salt water, but it's basically a salted water, I guess, right?
It is. Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's just like a wash. Some people like using the neti pot. Some people like using just the spray bottles, but it's actually been shown to help.
Yeah. Is one better than another? I see these commercials all the time for the neti pots and, you know, steam cleaning. And
I don't know that one's better. It's whatever you can keep clean and what you're willing to do.
Yeah. Whatever device you can keep clean, I guess, is what you're saying,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know because I definitely would not have thought of that.
And then there's the basic things, just like getting rest, making sure that you stay hydrated, that you're eating well. All of those general things that we tell you to stay healthy also help you from not getting sick.
What, and like the old grandma recipes, I guess, the, you know, cures, those things for the most part are pretty accurate and helpful, right?
Some of them are. I often joke with my patients that when grandma told you to eat the chicken soup, it's actually a really good thing. It has the fluid, it has protein, it has vegetables, it has all of those things that you need to help you stay well. And when you are sick, get better.
Yeah, I had a discussion with somebody about the benefits of garlic, just eating whole cloves of garlic, because that is something my grandmother would, you'd not only eat it, but she'd crush it and rub it on you. You weren't done till you smelled like a piece of garlic bread with my grandmother. That was the old school way. Is there anything to that?
There's definitely anti-inflammatory properties to garlic. I think it's a great thing to have as part of your diet. I don't think it's going to cure you. That and loading yourself with vitamins aren't necessarily going to help, but as part of a general healthy diet, it absolutely can help you stay away from some of the illnesses or recover a little bit faster.
Okay, here's the other thing that my grandmother did this and my parents did this too. The second you had any sort of cold-like symptoms, the Vicks VapoRub came out, and you were slathered in this Vicks VapoRub within an inch of your life. Any value in that?
I mean, I'm going to say I do that in my house too, but I've seen some studies that have said that it is good and some studies that have said that it's not. I do feel like most people that do it feel better as they're getting through their illness, though, in combination with all the other things. Okay. So sometimes just having your symptoms is good.
Yeah, they can't smell anything or taste anything through all of the menthol. I guess it's soothing. I guess it's probably soothing to breathe, I suppose. But
yes.
I think about my grandmother was also a big proponent of the blackberry brandy. A shot of blackberry brandy, which, you know, she thought would make you feel better. And maybe she was just knocking you out. Maybe she was just getting you drunk. I don't know.
I can't recommend that one. The other thing that people find soothing is honey. Obviously, we want people to be not give it to their babies under one because that causes problems. But for people that have coughs and colds, sometimes the honey can be soothing as well for their throats.
But not for babies. I'd never heard that.
Yes, under one, they don't have the ability to process, and so we worry about botulism and honey, and so that's why we only recommend it over one.
I see. Okay. All right. You said vaccinations. We should be getting our flu shots right now?
It's time to get our flu shots, our COVID vaccines, and for those who are eligible, their RSV vaccines. And then there's recommendations for everyone over 50 to have an pneumonia vaccine as well. So there's a fair amount that can help protect us as we're walking into this cold and flu season.
Okay, not to pound people over the head with this, but we are seeing COVID numbers rising all over the U.S. right now. Sure. And I know that you and most doctors, not everyone, it's a point of controversy and political controversy now over whether you should be vaccinated or not. I guess people can make up their own minds, but doctors are recommending getting up to date with your COVID vaccines, correct?
That is absolutely correct. And many of the professional societies have come out and said that. When you do actually look at even the CDC guidance, when you look at the list of things that are that make you more likely to be able to contract COVID or have serious disease. But the list is actually quite long. And I think many people are surprised when they actually take a look at it. Something as simple as not being super active is on that list, or being overweight or obese is on that list. So there are many, many things that are on that list. And so in general, I am absolutely recommending that families consider it for all members of their family.
Okay, check with your doctors and see where you are with all of that and make up your own minds with it all. More with Dr. Santina Wheat when we come back, and we will take your calls and take your texts, 312-981-7200. WGN. Right now we continue with Dr. Santina Wheat. Answering your questions on health, 312-981-7200. And Jim, you are on WGN with Dr. Wheat.
Good morning, people. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, I got a question for Doctor. The RSV vaccine. My wife was told the other day that since it's been almost 2 years since we got these things, we need an update. But I didn't realize there's any update on these yet. Is that true or not true?
I'm going to say I'm surprised that your wife was told that. In general, the RSV vaccine is not currently an annual vaccine. And so as long as you have received one, the guidance is that you don't need another one.
So,
one
and done, then, in other words.
As of right now, it's one and done, yes.
Okay, well, that's easy enough. Jim, I hope that helps. Thank you for your call. 847 area code says to please ask the doctor about COVID vaccines. It says, I'm 71 and up to date. I had a COVID vaccine in April. I'm going to Europe next May. Should I get an updated vaccine now and also next April, or just wait and get it next April? That's planning right there. Wow.
That is great planning. I would recommend getting the COVID vaccine now. The vaccine that we are seeing in pharmacies and doctor's offices right now is different than the one that was available earlier in the year. In fact, some organizations pulled all of the vaccines that were on their shelves because this is a new one that's available. So hopefully this will provide some different protection than what you had before. I don't anticipate that we'll have another one again by the spring. So I would say maybe in the next month or two, get this, the COVID vaccine, and hopefully that will protect you throughout for the trip also.
As a general rule, though, if someone is vaccinated, for how long does it work, I guess? How until you need to get reboosted?
You know, there's some guidance that says about 6 months is when we would say that maybe you're not up to date anymore. However, we're not seeing new vaccines that are coming out that often. And so I would say I'm currently recommending to my patients to think about it per season, like I am with the flu shot. So thinking about it annually and just trying to get it in before we see those waves hit.
And the 847, another 847 area code asks about measles immunity. I had one when I was younger. Do I need to get another now?
It really depends on your age. There are some people that only received one measles vaccine and are in this window that maybe they need another one. But if you're someone that received two doses of the measles vaccines when you were younger, then you should not need another one now. And if you're old enough that you had the measles, then you don't need it now.
What about if you don't remember? Because I was a kid. I seem to remember that we got vaccinated in school. I think it was just one vaccine that we got for measles. Honestly, I'm not sure. Is there a way to test for that, or do you just go ahead and get re-immunized just to be on the safe side?
So either is okay. We do have a test that we can do that looks at your immunity. The test is not perfect, so sometimes it tells us that people are not immune and they might be, but there's no harm to getting an additional vaccine outside of the typical soreness that you might get from the injection site and the feeling a little bit crummy as your immune system revs up. But besides that, there's no harm to getting another one. And so when people aren't sure, I offer them either the test or just getting the vaccine.
All right. The 773 area code says, I read about a breakthrough drug that may be the ultimate baldness cure. Now, this got my attention right away. Actually, I don't think I would want a head of hair. I like the no-maintenance baldness that I have now. I don't think I would change it. But there are plenty of people who freak out about losing their hair. Is there something new in that area?
So I was looking at this this article. There is some ongoing research right now that looks like a drug that is mimicking the stimulation of hair growth, where it'll work on all of your hair follicles at the same time, which is quite exciting. From what I could see, it is not available yet, but is undergoing testing. And it could be a really great opportunity for some people. As you were mentioning, a lot of people do worry about this, and it can really impact self-esteem and our ability to interact in the world. So if the trials continue to work and it's something that could be useful, I think this would be a great opportunity for so many.
All right. So there you go. Me, I'm staying chrome dome. Dr. Tina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delnor Hospital. Have a great Sunday. Thank you so much. You going to watch the Emmy Awards tonight?
I may.
Did you even know that the Emmy
Awards were on? Yeah, I knew they were on, yes. No, I may. I know you will be.
Well, I will because I watch so you don't have to.
Exactly. That's part of your job.
I'll recap it all tomorrow on WGN-TV Morning News. The nominees for Best Drama, or as we like to say on the South Side, Drama.
Drama.
Best Drama.
Sounds like Dramamine.
Severance, The Pit, White Lotus, The Last of Us, Slow Horses, Andor, The Diplomat, and Squid Game. What's the one thing common of all those? Not a single one on commercial television.
I was going to say, White Lotus, that's not on commercial TV.
No.
None of the other ones are either.
No, yeah. There are no regular network TV as we grew up with.
How things have changed.
None there. Best comedies, Hacks, The Studio, Only Murders in the Building, The Bear, Abbott Elementary, Nobody Wants This, Shrinking, and What We Do in the Shadows. I think Abbott Elementary is the only one that's...
It's on ABC, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. So, anywho, I'll recap tomorrow morning.
We just started watching the new season of Only Murders.
I hear it's good.
Very good.
I haven't watched any of it yet, but good. I'm hearing that it's good. Shwani, have you been binging your Andy Griffith?
Oh, here and there. You know, there are some episodes I haven't seen.
No, there are not.
No way.
There's no way. That's not possible. And I'm not just saying that about you. It's also not possible for me either.
He's starting to watch them backwards now for a challenge.
Yeah, I watch just in the hopes of getting a Darlins episode.
Oh, they're on.
I love the Darlins.
They're on. That's right. That should be, you know what? That should be our new theme. Maybe we can use keep your money in your shoe and it won't get wet.
Come on. Don't play that one. You know that makes me cry.
That one makes me cry, Paul.
Can we get a version Maybe of our Sunday morning song? Sunday morning.
Dean Richards on a windy city weekend. WGN.
What an amazing talent. What an amazing singer. I love Amy Winehouse music. And I was so sad when she died of alcohol poisoning.
Right. Yeah, I remember when we did quite a segment on the show after she died.
Yeah, yeah. I was a huge fan. Also on this day, Francis Scott Key wrote a little song,
a little ditty.
What does that sound like?
Well.
Go to any baseball game, you'll find out.
Except that we have music license.
I cannot. Well, wait a minute. That has to be in public domain, I would think.
I don't know if it is or not. Well, there's new restrictions. It's the new world of broadcasting.
Well, all I know is the last two words are play ball.
That's right. Star Spangled Banner. He wrote Star Spangled Banner. 1814.
Outside Fort McHenry, I think.
Look at you.
Yeah. Near Baltimore.
Yeah, a lot of rockets.
It's on my to-do list.
A lot of rockets, red glare there.
And bombs bursting in air.
Bombs bursting in air.
Kind of gave proof through the night, I would think.
Yeah, that, I don't want to get into any copyright issues, but the flag may have still been there.
Need to call in Jim Cornelison.
Yeah. Oh.
He does the national anthem. I'll take a Jim Cornelison version and that Whitney Houston version before whatever Super Bowl that
1991.
Was. That was awesome. The Golden Girls premiered on this day, Shawnee, in 1985.
Wow. 40 years now.
Yeah.
40 years.
Yeah, I know that number because High School Reunion number 40 is coming up in October.
Look at you. I'd say of the Golden Girl, Shawnee is Sophia of the group. Andy is Blanche.
Blanche, completely.
And who are you?
I guess I'm Dorothy. I don't know.
Dorothy?
I don't know. I would like to be Betty White, but I mean, Rose. I'd like to be Rose. But I think I'm more Dorothy. I'm more pragmatic. I'm more... Don't you think?
Oh, sure.
Of course.
Yes. I'm definitely not the slut on the show that much. That much I know. It's still a funny show. I don't care what anybody says. 1985. Look how long ago that premiered.
1985, and then how long did it run?
In regular run?
Regular run, yeah.
Like 9 or 10
years. I was going to say, yeah, it had 9 or 10 seasons.
And it's more popular than ever in reruns still.
Mm-hmm.
After all this time.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the big thing that happened on this day in history. In 1964, Pop-Tarts made their debut. Kellogg's Pop-Tarts made their official debut on this day in 1964.
Should be celebrated as a national holiday.
I love a good Pop-Tart.
I haven't had one in years, and I used to have them almost every morning for breakfast.
Don't we have them in the vending machine?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's right. We do, don't we?
They're only discount price for like $5 or something. And I've spent it, by the way, in the past.
Have you? $5 for the ones that come in the package?
Because the vending machine takes credit cards.
I know it does.
Or as I like to call it, Little Las Vegas down the
hall.
And
a service fee, too.
Yeah, they're also... That's true. It's very true. The original Pop-Tart flavors, blueberry.
Yeah.
Strawberry.
Yeah.
Apple.
Oh, that was my favorite.
And brown sugar cinnamon.
I had that one.
Second favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
those. Yeah, growing up, there was a cherry.
Original ones didn't have icing, and then they figured out a way to keep the icing from melting, I think, when you put it in the toaster.
Where was the flavor? Oh, just the inside.
Inside, yeah, fruit flavored inside the dough.
And then they put that.
Yeah,
I don't care for the icing.
That's what I'm in it for.
You're in it just for the icing.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's what I'm in it for.
Mm-hmm. So, this would be the educational portion of our program. Got anything else, Shawnee?
No, I think you covered the bases there.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to educate anyone else more than you know about the Pop-Tarts, you know about Golden Girls. What else do you want to know? Nothing.
Exactly. There's nothing else to know.
Nothing else to know.
We covered the Mayflower and the far-flung forecast today.
Yeah.
So,
considering this is a short show, we're off at 11 o'clock today for Hamp and OB. I would say a super educational show today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Serving in the public interest.
Yeah. Eli, make sure this is nominated now for a Peabody or something
like
that.
That's right. We have a special room with our Peabody Awards.
Special room?
Yeah. We have a trophy room for all of the educational value we've added to society through the years. Exactly. All right. Well, we try to talk about important things once in a while as well. For decades, I have hosted the AIDS Walk and Run Chicago. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll get you some details on that next. Chicago's very own WGN. It's 10:24, Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Literally for decades, I have been honored to host one of the biggest fundraisers of the year for HIV and AIDS. That is the AIDS Run and Walk, which will take place just outside. It steps off just outside of Soldier Field 2 weeks from now, September 27th to be exact. It all benefits the AIDS Foundation of Chicago, one of the best organizations that we have, still serving people who are living with HIV and AIDS, even though the nature of HIV and AIDS has changed through the years. There's still quite a challenge for people who are diagnosed. And joining me to talk about it is John Peller, who is the president and CEO of the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. Hello there, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Dean, good morning. How are you? Thank you for having me on and for your amazing support of AIDS Run Walk for so many years. It's always a joy to have you there.
It's my joy and my pleasure to be out there every year to contribute and help because this really is still an issue. It's not like it was in the 80s, most of the 90s. But this is still a rather prevalent and rather important issue, isn't it?
It really is, Dean. And, you know, we have made really tremendous progress in fighting HIV in Chicago and Illinois. today there's still 20,000 people living with HIV in Chicago who need services. And many of those folks are low income and really struggling. We at AIDS Foundation Chicago provide case management to them and provide housing and help people get the services that they need to thrive. There is really some amazing news about HIV these days. One piece is that when people living with HIV get connected to medication and to services and are on continuous treatment, they can live near normal lifespans, which is really amazing. But unfortunately, about a third of people living with HIV are not getting the medications that they need to be healthy. We also now have HIV prevention medication called PrEP or pre-exposure prophylaxis that's over 99% effective when taken consistently and correctly. And we had an amazing development this year when the FDA approved the first shot for HIV prevention that's given just twice a year, every 6 months. So now someone can just get a shot twice a year and have, you know, greater than 99% protection against HIV, which is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, well, all of this that you're talking about is, medication that you have to take, programs that you need to be on. And all we've been hearing about, not just with HIV and AIDS, but lots of government funding is going away. And that puts people's lives in jeopardy. If these programs, if these drugs are not made available to people, that's a problem. How much has the HIV and AIDS community been affected by federal funding disappearing?
So thank you for raising that, Dean. We are very, very concerned about the federal picture right now. And the Trump administration is proposing cutting, for example, $300 million nationally to clinics where people living with HIV get their care. They're proposing cutting 100% of HIV prevention funding at the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's over $800 million, and $18 million of that funding comes to Illinois. And if that funding is cut, that would result in over 6,000 people newly diagnosed with HIV between now and 2030. And, you know, every person living with HIV for lifetime medical care costs over $400,000. And so it just doesn't make financial sense to have these funding cuts proposed. And that's why support from individuals through events like AIDS Run Walk is so vital right now, because it gives us that bridge and that hope that we can continue to provide the services that people living with HIV need to be healthy, and also to prevent new cases of HIV.
Yeah, we've come so far because of research, because of money that's come in to get us to the point where people can be undetectable, where people can live near normal lifespans, all the things that you talked about. It would be so sad if it went back, started going backwards again. So hopefully that will not happen. The AIDS Run and Walk is Saturday, September 27th. Give us all the details if people want to come out and join us.
That's right. It's at Soldier Field. The Run and Walk kicks off at 10:30. There's a 10K run, 5K run, and a 5K walk. And folks can learn more and register at AIDSRunWalk.org. Again, it's AIDSRunWalk.org.
Good deal. Yeah, and we'll be out there early with we have some performers who will be on stage with me prior to 10:30, singing, stretching, warming you up, getting you ready. So get out there early. There's always a lot of fun and food. So it's going to be Saturday, September 27th, AIDSRunWalk.org to get more information. I'm looking forward to seeing you, John, as always. John Peller, President and CEO of the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. All right, my friend. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, the boys are getting ready. They're standing by. They'll be here in about 20 minutes or so. In the meantime, we've got a special A-list interview to share with you from the sequel 40 Years in the Making. It was 1984 that This Is Spinal Tap, the rock mockumentary, the satire of a heavy metal rock and roll group came out that featured comedians Michael McKean, Christopher Guest, and Harry Shearer, directed by Rob Reiner, who is also featured in the movie as the director of this so-called movie. How was the movie received? Let's go back to a clip from 1984 from the old Siskel and Ebert television show reviewing the original This Is Spinal Tap. The late Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert reviewing This Is Spinal Tap, 1984. And much of what they said about the original movie still holds true for this new movie, Spinal Tap 2, which also features the same guys. They're all back. Michael McKean as David St. Hubbins, Christopher Guest as Nigel Tufnel, and Harry Shearer, former WGN radio host, Harry Shearer, as Derek Smalls in this movie. When I was in Los Angeles over the weekend, I talked not only with them, But the director, the real life director of this movie, Rob Reiner, who in this movie plays the director of this mockumentary. And they were all in character. I didn't talk to them all as themselves. I talked to them as their characters from this movie. This is Spinal Tap 2.
Congratulations on the return.
Thank you.
It was just so great to see you back up on the screen and back up on stage.
We haven't seen it yet, but we're going to see it tonight.
We're going to see it tonight.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something if you didn't like it?
Well, we didn't love
it. You didn't care for the first one.
No, it's very possible. Don't know.
That was a very negative version of who we were. Yeah. Of course, it was who we weren't.
Marty wasn't our first choice to do this, but we had no other choice.
We had no choice at all.
That's right.
Any of it.
That's what I mean.
You pretty much blame Marty for the failure, as you see it, failure of
the hatchet job. Yeah.
Hatchet
job. Yeah, but we didn't have a choice to come back, basically. It was a contractual thing.
Yeah.
We had to do it.
We owed one more.
We owed a show. So here we go.
You've got to do it, otherwise you're in trouble.
Yeah. So what's it like to be back and, you know, to be
old,
getting all of those attention?
Well, it's different because I've never gotten old before. You know, it's all a new experience. Every day there's a new ache or pain or blurriness in one eye or the other, you know. What are you going to do? There you are. But we got together with my mates here and we made some noise and we did have a good time until it all
That's like autopilot, you would call it. We come back, you really
don't know what you would call
it.
We've
played so much that you just fall back into it and you play. Yeah. But the old part is definitely different. So I've done away with mirrors because it's depressing.
Yeah.
You know, so I have little tapestries and things like that.
Yeah. The things that make you happy instead of.
Well, and they don't even make you happy, but it's better than a mirror. Yeah.
It's just like, for me, it's just like the old days, except for the pills.
lots of different pills every
more
day.
More pills.
Yeah.
I find that I'm making more noises now when I.
Oh,
when
did you happen to tell us that? Though?
And are you a noisemaker when you're?
Well, but you're implying some unpleasant things.
No, he's just saying that as you get older,
you're talking about creaks.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, my mind went immediately to your thing when you go to sleep, and then that thing.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave the room.
You probably made that noise all your life.
Part of life.
When I was walking in the room.
You get up.
Leave in the hall.
Your knee clicks.
Leave your ego at the door.
A little trail of me.
You go like this and your arm clicks.
Yeah, all the clicking.
Your joints click in a different way. Yeah.
The addition of Paul McCartney and Elton John.
Or attraction, as you might call it.
And come on.
Was that a bad idea? I sort of sensed that you weren't crazy about him intruding when you were rehearsing.
A bit. Yeah. I didn't think it was appropriate.
He's a delicate flower.
No, who?
You.
Oh, Paul.
Hey, no.
What's Paul? A sequoia?
Yeah. Come on. Well, compared, yeah.
Yes.
You.
Fair enough.
You are a delicate person.
Well, I'm not delicate. I'm sensitive.
I'm not saying as a Christian.
No.
I'm saying that's what you are.
You know, sensitive is a nice.
You're sensitive.
You prick him, does he not bleed?
Yeah, sure. Well, don't try it.
No. For two reasons.
Was it any more pleasant when Elton John joined you? That was a pleasant experience.
That didn't have this element in it. No, it was great. He was great, sang great, played great. Yeah.
It all went horribly wrong, of course, but
that's not a problem.
And he's healing well.
Good.
We hear.
He's a gamer.
He's not talking to
us. He's a survivor.
I don't think
he is. I guess he is.
He's still standing or
leaning. He is still standing. Yes. So
leaning more than standing.
With the help of
you guys, through the years, you've played Wembley.
Yeah.
And the biggest arenas. In
Royal Albert Hall.
Glastonbury.
Have you had Chicago experiences?
Oh, yeah.
Have you played some of
them? We've played several times in Chicago.
I think the Chicago Theatre.
The theatre is a great venue.
Yeah. What was the name of the place?
That little club.
No, there was a club called the... what was it called?
You know what the club?
It was it's kind of fake model.
Not Mr. Kelly's.
No.
The Kelly.
I don't know. There was a rock club.
There's so many.
Village West. No, something no. West. Theatre West.
Something
no.
like that. Yeah.
Nathaniel West.
No,
that's a different thing. But we've had great audiences there.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask what a Chicago audience
is. It's a great one. Is, it's one of the great ones. There are a few cities that audience. It's just explosively good.
Yeah.
And there's some which I won't mention which are not. But Chicago is definitely one of the great ones.
Yeah. Any city that could produce something like the Butterfield Blues Band.
Yeah,
is okay
or,
with me.
Or a Bruce Springsteen.
But no, he's not.
What?
Oh, he's not from Chicago. No.
Yeah, but it might be the wind. True. Yeah, it may just be.
Can't use that excuse for it.
Una Merkel.
Perfect.
She's
definitely.
Studs Terkel.
Joseph Jefferson.
Studs Terkel.
Joseph Jefferson.
Wow.
Yes.
That's an obscure reference, but very Chicago.
Lots of people, amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Louis Armstrong went there very early age played there.
That's right.
In clubs. And,
I think the cold weather makes us stronger, more resilient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we can take
it. Could
be. You can take the loud volume better.
We could take the...
Maybe, yeah, that's true.
Because your ears are not warm. Marty, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Dean. Coming from you, that means a little bit.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't expect much more than that. The boys did not seem overly happy to get back together with you again.
Well,
after the first movie, they haven't even seen this.
You see, I think they were just not happy to get back together with each other.
Period.
Because they hadn't played in 15 years. Now, I know they were holding a little bit of a grudge from the first film. They didn't say, I didn't show them in a good light, and they, of course, they did reach the stage the majority of time. I would say about 60-70%. And I showed the one time they couldn't find the stage. So I understand, why they'd be a little upset. But I think they're more upset because they were forced back together.
Yeah.
And I was nervous at first that I thought, what are they going to do? Are they going to receive me? But they were forced. So they kind of had to swallow it.
What was your reaction, though, getting back into this? It couldn't have been an easy project 40 years ago. Were you reluctant to?
No reluctance at ever. I never had reluctance. I would have taken anything at this point. I thought the first film was going to be launching my career. Didn't do anything. I made one, that stupid sequel, of Kramer versus Kramer versus Godzilla. It didn't go anywhere. It went in the dumper. And so I didn't work from that time on. I didn't get to work. So, this to me was a great opportunity, and I'm hoping it relaunches.
Yeah. What were your biggest surprises, being back with them again, being with them while rehearsing and shows?
Well, I was surprised. I wasn't surprised. This is a great band. They're underrated. They've never been appreciated. So when we had Paul McCartney show up, Elton John show up, I didn't ask them. I had nothing to do with it. They wanted to play with these. So I wasn't disappointed. I thought, this makes sense. This makes sense to me. Finally, these guys are getting their due. And they, by the way, Sir Elton John, Sir Paul, why couldn't these guys be knighted?
Yeah.
I mean, they not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. These are oversights.
When I talk with them, they're underwhelmed by McCartney showing up.
Well, I think that they were thrilled to see him show up. I think David was a little bit miffed because McCartney didn't agree with him about how the particular song should go that he had created. And I think that caused a little bit of a tension between them. But I think they were happy to see him initially. And then David was the only one he called him some pretty nasty things.
Yeah, it wasn't pleasant.
No,
in the movie nor in my interview.
Yeah, well, he's still holding a grudge.
He's still holding a grudge. What about the others? I mean, were you surprised that Tricia Yearwood, Garth Brooks?
Well, no, I wasn't. Again, I wasn't surprised because these people love Spinal Tap. They love them, and so all of a sudden they get an opportunity to play. In the case of Garth Brooks, they're goofing around, they're having fun, but look what happened. Because of them playing, all of a sudden, Spinal Tap gets resurrected. And anything that can do that, to me, I'm for. Look, they get resurrected, I'm hoping it resurrects me.
Do you think that this new movie turns it up to 11, maybe a 12?
Well, to 11, 12, I just, a 6 is fine with me. I just want, with Rotten Tomatoes, they have the thing. Just anything that isn't like under 50, over 50 Rotten Tomatoes. And maybe it's hopefully more.
Yeah. Were you surprised that Turn It Up to 11 became part of the nomenclature?
It's the phrase that everybody uses all the time. It's in the Oxford English Dictionary. Yeah. So, you never know. You never know when you're making a film. And by the way, it's not me. I didn't say that. That's Nigel saying that.
Yeah. Congratulations on this.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the book.
Oh, yeah, the book. Not at all. The book, yeah, and I did one part of the book, which is, the first part is written by, Rob Reiner. Have you heard of this guy? He's a good, very good director.
I think he used to be an actor years ago.
Yeah, he writes the first part of the book, which is about the making of it. I don't know how he knows about it. He wasn't even there. But the second part of the book is written by me, Marty DeBerge, mm-hmm. and it's called Smell the Book. First part of the book is Fine Line Between Stupid and Clever, and then Smell the Book, which is me interviewing.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I think this Rob guy is going to be in Chicago next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he's trying to sell some books. Yeah, he's trying to sell some books.
Yeah, Rob is going to be at the Music Box Theater on September the 18th, if you're interested in hearing more. Rob Reiner, Michael McKeon, Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer, in character, for this is Spinal Tap 2. Our movies for the week look like they are falling out. Demon Slayer to be the number one movie of the week, followed by Downton Abbey, the grand finale, The Conjuring, Last Rites, The Long Walk, and Toy Story. Our week in theater segment featuring Spinal Tap today is sponsored by the Lyric Opera of Chicago. All right, that's going to pretty much wind it up for us today. We have an abbreviated show because we're excited about Hap and OB and Andy Mazur coming up right after the 11 o'clock news. They will preview today's Bears and Lions game. And it's always complete entertainment when these guys are on the air. I can't wait. So stick around for that at 11. We'll see you on Bob Surratt Show between 8 and 8:30 weekday mornings. Talking about entertainment, we'll be sharing some of our A-list interviews that we did in California over the last week or so. Bob Surratt Show, and of course, tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, I'll be recapping the Emmy Awards that are tonight. I watch, so you don't have to. And we'll tell you about all the winners and losers and special moments and highlights. There always are some, so we'll have that all for you tomorrow morning. Look forward to that. So enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy Hap and OB and Andy. They're all coming up next.